This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. And remember, this program can be re-listened to on the website, and there is a weekly meditation on the website that you may find helpful. So if you want those addresses and would like to contact me, either by regular mail or through the website, you'll need to write the addresses down at the close of the program. Now, last time we spent some time on what it meant to be independent, since we were looking at the 4th of July weekend, and today we want to continue our journey through Genesis chapter, starting with Genesis chapter 26. I want to read from Genesis 26 and verse 24, where it says, "And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." Now the Lord's appearing to Abraham's promised son Isaac. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And you'll notice that calling on the name of the Lord isn't a one-time prayer. Calling on the name of the Lord is evidence that he was worshiping the Lord, and prayer was part of that worship. So he called on the name of the Lord. He did not call on the name of idols. He was one who believed in Jehovah. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech, who was the ruler of the Philistines, came to him from Gerar with Ahuza, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." Now, I want to pause here for a moment because I may not be able to come back to this. But isn't it nice when those people who worship other gods or no gods, when they can see that the Lord is in fact with us, that we do in fact call upon the name of the Lord? Now, in Isaac's case, that blessing was seen through the fact that God had physically blessed him and his animals. But that blessing that may be seen in our case may be just the peace that we have because we know we are right with God. But they took note of the fact that the Lord was with Isaac. So we said, going back to the reading now, "So we said, let there now be an oath between us and between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, a contract with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. That was often the way a covenant or a treaty in that day was solemnized, by eating together at a feast. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Wouldn't it be nice if our treaties with those that disagree with us on philosophical and perhaps governmental issues, if we could send them away in peace, and if they could send us away in peace? It looks to me like this was a live and let live day, even though Isaac could not worship the same way that these Philistines apparently were worshiping. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. That's the city that was associated with that well. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. So Esau, their firstborn, who had despised his birthright, took his wives from the people of the land. You remember Abraham had sent a servant to Haran to find a wife for Isaac from the people who would have been worshipers of the Lord. They were also his relatives. So Just in review, as we've gone through this section, we have seen a principle, and one of those principles is that the elder serves the younger. And that principle shows to us that, in fact, what we are by nature does not please God, but what we are by faith does. And when we believe in the Lord, the Bible says we become new creatures in Christ. And it's the person who lives by faith that pleases the Lord. We do not please the Lord through the self-will of that first nature. We please the Lord through the dependence on the promises of God and on the blessings that the Lord gives us when we trust the Lord and we become a new creature in Christ. That new creature really has to set aside everything that he thought was right. When we look at the New Testament, that new creature has to give up his earthly ambitions and he has to begin serving the Lord himself, and his ambitions become eternal and heavenly. So the elder serves the younger, even in the Old Testament, the principle of the need for a new birth and a regeneration is taught to us through these examples that we see of, first of all, Esau and Jacob, and we see it with Ishmael and Isaac. So we have seen then that not only does the elder serve the younger, we have seen that Ishmael, who was a product of a wife called Hagar, he's a product of the flesh, while Isaac, who was a son of Sarah, both sons of Abraham, he's a product of the Spirit. Now, the reason we say that is because the Lord had promised to Isaac that he would have a son in his old age. And when that wasn't happening, it appears that Abraham, at least that Sarah, encouraged Abraham to take Hagar as his wife, and it produced Ishmael. Ishmael was older than Isaac. And so Ishmael gets set aside. Isaac is the one that the promises come through. But nevertheless, we see also that when we are that the flesh is always going to war against the Spirit. And when we look at that from a personal standpoint, each of us has the flesh in us. That's the old nature. That's the desire to do what we want to do. And when we are born again, we have the Spirit in us. And the Spirit is that part of us that responds to the instructions of God and brings us into fellowship with God. And that's why when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. So we can see that we're always going to have this conflict, and we see it in a number of ways in the Bible. We see the conflict between the flesh and the Spirit, and because the Spirit of God is from God, ultimately the Spirit of God wins. But there are times when we allow the flesh to take control and we make decisions in the flesh that harm us in the long run. And that really happened with Abraham, because you'll see he took wives that were not provided for him by this unnamed servant who is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He not only took Hagar, but we read that he took Keturah. And as you read in this passage about Keturah, the question arises as to when he married Keturah, and we're not really told when he married Keturah. But we are told that when he had Isaac, he was as good as dead. That is, insofar as Sarah was concerned, she had already passed her childbearing years, and in Hebrews 11, Isaac, Abraham, was as good as dead when he was able to conceive Isaac. And so it's likely that Keturah was also a wife that he took, or a concubine that he took, during those years when he was waiting. And you know, it's often the waiting years, when we're waiting for God to fulfill his promises, where we make mistakes. God makes promises and he's going to fulfill them, but often he doesn't fulfill them on our timetable and the way we expect him to fulfill them. One of the promises that he's made is that he is coming again. And we know that the reason that he hasn't come again is because in 2 Peter 3, he says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means that they should all change their mind and put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And so he's waiting for a few more to come to faith in him, and that's why he hasn't come, but he will come. And even though it's been a long time since the Lord came, promised that he would come again, we have come to the conclusion that all things are going to continue as they are continuing today, and many people are living secular lives because they don't expect the Lord to come, and they're not living lives based on the Spirit, on eternity, and on spiritual promises. They're not serving the Lord, they're serving the flesh. And even those who call themselves Christians are often bogged down with the affairs of time and sense. This waiting time is when we make mistakes, and it appears that Abraham married two women. He would have called them concubines. They would have been what is known as secondary wives, but he made two mistakes while he was waiting for God to fulfill the promise of producing for him the promised seed, who is a picture ultimately of the Lord Jesus, a miraculous birth and a beloved son. So these concubines are really secondary wives. They were usually servants, or they were taken in battle, and they didn't have the same status as the primary wife, and in some cases the primary wives, but it should have been the primary wife. Now, this was not a part of the original pattern where God had made an Eve for an Adam. And while God does not condemn this, he certainly does not approve this. And we see that in this waiting period, this taking of additional wives was something that created problems for Abraham while he was alive. He ends up sending the descendants of these wives away so that they do not affect the life of Isaac. But in subsequent years, even down to our present time, the descendants of these other wives have always been opposed to the Jewish people and Israel and the promised land. And I'm not going into a commentary of what is right and what is wrong in our current day. That's not my purpose. But my purpose is to say that when Isaac produced these children by the flesh, those children ultimately created difficulties and problems. And so during the waiting periods, we often make mistakes that are costly to us at some point in our lives. Now, when we look at Abraham, he was primarily a man of altars. That is, he was the patriarchal priest in his family, and he built altars. He also dug wells, but the altar is a place of worship. Isaac was known more for opening up wells, redigging wells that Abraham had dug, but in the Bible it seems like he was a man of the wells, and that was a picture of the life-giving water that the Lord provides through the Holy Spirit when we trust in the Lord, the refreshment that we can get when we are enjoying the presence and the blessing of the Lord. So one produced worship and was obviously a worshiper. The other produced refreshment, and we should have both in our lives if we are really enjoying the presence of the Lord, if we have really trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.